I currently work at a company called CBRE, which is a commercial real estate firm. I'm in their valuation and advisory practice. And to answer the question, I think for me, my journey has been interesting because I kind of grew up with ministry just all around me. I was always part of ministry in some capacity. And I think when I was growing in my passion and love for the Lord, I think a big dilemma that I had was in my mind, and I'm not sure if some of you guys had this mindset growing up, is I want to be on fire for the Lord. The only thing I must do is do full-time ministry. And I think that's something that I wrestled with because I believed that I had gifts in business and desires to be in the marketplace. But I think something that the Lord has taught me over my journey is that they're not mutually exclusive. And that God created the marketplace, God created work, God works. And so I think just getting that revelation and just applying it. I think for me, just simple answer is understanding God's purpose and idea for work. And I think that's kind of been lost, and I've been in a journey and trying to rediscover that.
That's really good. I want to actually, oh, come on, let's give it up for that. That was a good answer. Actually, that's true, Justin, because when I was growing up, I thought the pastors and the leaders at church were like the holy ones, and everyone else is, they're just regular, right? Y'all just regular, just basic. I want to ask you guys if any of you have felt that growing up where you felt like my calling into the secular workplace is less than being, you know, a leader or a pastor in the church. Have you ever struggled with that or ever thought that? Any of you guys?
Well, hi, I'm Rebecca, and I work in retail management. So for the past 8 years, but my answer is no, because personally, in my testimony, I didn't grow up within the church, so I didn't look at that role as maybe at a hierarchy in any way. I grew up with a single mom who taught me to be independent, and then I had to work hard for what I wanted. And so yeah, I would have to say no, but off of just the value that I've taken away from the workplace and my career, God has, reflecting just this past week, knowing that we were going to be up here and talking, I was like mesmerized, and my eyes were opened by how much God has had his hand in every single transition that I've had in my work and in my career, that he just presented opportunities. And so the biggest value I have is obedience in my career and really listening to what he has in store for me instead of trying to make it on my own. And even when I did, you know, he would close those doors and he'd open something else. And so just having an ear to listen and follow obediently.
So, hi again. My name is Chris, and so I'm a scientist, so I work at Genentech. I'm in the lab every single day. So again, my short answer is no to that, as in from growing up. But what I've realized since I've been out here, the battle is between science versus Christianity. And the deeper I've gotten into the church, I realize that it's not really a battle at all, because this is what ultimately wins. And the biggest thing what I've learned, especially being in the workplace and being in a pharmaceutical world, outside of all the other social kind of stigmas that's correlated with it, is the amount of influence that I can have. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, the things that I can control in terms of my attitude and my outlook. And so what I've realized in the 3 years that I've been at Genentech, you know, having a positive outlook, something as simple as smiling and being open to just meet people where they're at, has brought about a massive influence for the church in the workplace.
Actually, I want to touch upon something you said. You made a distinction between science and Christianity. And I think all of us could agree in the workplace, there's a culture clash, right, between our Christian values and the world's values. How do you approach that, Chris? And sorry to put you on the spot,
no,
but
it's all good. No,
scientist Chris, you know, how do you approach that? How do you reconcile that when you're interacting with people with different values than you? How do you make sense of that, and how do you not step on their toes but still be loving and warm?
I think the first part is that I need to be founded in what I believe in first. Because if I'm on shaky ground, no matter what I say to anybody, is going to have nothing in vain. Everything's going to be in vain. So I need to make sure I'm on solid ground. And then the other thing too, right, is like we're taught to love and what that actually means in action, right? So irrespective of what my coworkers believe in doing all of that. I'm trying to meet them where they're at and understand that they're people just like us, you know, and so that I can step into their world and understand, you know, their desires, their passions and things like that. Yes, we may have fundamental differences in, you know, our endpoint beliefs, but that doesn't stop me from being able to step into their world and at least understand where they're coming from.
Let's hear from Sharon. What's one thing you picked up?
Yeah, I'm Sharon. I work in global strategy at Uber. Previously, I spent some time in finance. One thing I've learned is to be courageous and to have a lot of confidence in my identity as a Christian woman. I think my approach towards faith and work has changed over the years. In the beginning, it was very vertical, like me and God. And I sort of thought about it as like, oh, I'm going into finance. It's a very secular industry. I'm going to be like the light in the darkness kind of thing. And I thought of it very much as like, I'm going to make sure I do a good job in being a good person. And it just kind of like stopped there. I didn't really talk about my faith to anybody. And over the years, I think that shifted a bit. I think that personal vertical relationship with me and God is still there. But I think the biggest thing I've learned is to be okay being vocal about it. It's sort of like when you're worshiping and you like raise your hands for the first time ever in your life. It just feels so weird. And you're like, oh my God, everyone over there is looking at me over here. But they actually are not looking at you over here. And it just kind of frees you up and unlocks a lot of potential. In the same way, I think, you know, starting off small, like, oh, like, what did you do over the weekend? I went to church. Like, that initiates a conversation so that people are like, oh, she's receptive to, you know, questions. She's receptive to, like, talking about faith, period. And I think that sparked a lot of conversation with my colleagues. Some of them are here today and in a CG. And, yeah, and I think that's been, like, the starting point. And the biggest thing was, like, being able to be okay in even talking about it in the first place before going into, like, creative ways into how I talk about it.
That's so good. Actually, I kind of want to pause on that question, hear from you guys, too. Like, Sharon kind of shared how she's been a witness at her workplace. How do you be a witness in your specific workplace? What does that look like for you guys individually?
Well, I can't agree more. I actually had similar thoughts. I think because my faith has become such a dominant part of my life in the past few years, I kind of like can't hold it in. Whereas at the beginning, I was a little hesitant because it's like, oh, work, I'm management. If I say this, am I going to get in trouble? Is it a faux pas? And so I would battle those and I'd just kind of keep it in and be quiet about it. But like these days, I can't help but just plug it in. Like you said, like, what did you do this Sunday? Oh, I was at church. Or, you know, on Thursdays, I have my community groups, and just plugging those things in. And it's very organic and it gives my heart a lightness. And it's opened up opportunities that people around me now know. Like, they can come to me, you know, if someone's battling something for the first time, I would say in this past few years, people will come and ask me to pray for them. And that's, that in itself is rewarding, that they wouldn't have asked that prior if I didn't have the courage and the heart to actually just share what makes me happy.
Yeah. So someone in your workplace asked you to pray for them?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Were they Christian?
No, actually, I forget what religion she is. But she does believe in God. She's not Christian, but she was going through probably the hardest time of her life. And actually, outside of even just praying, I think God has always placed me in situations, and he's given me a gift of prophetic word that I think I just kind of naturally did throughout my life and had no idea. Like, you would just have the answers to things or the right words to share with someone. And people in my role as a manager, I'm actually surprised how many people feel comfortable approaching me and sharing those things. And so for the past probably 6 months, she's been sharing what's been going on in her life. And we're talking about, like, her daughter was addicted to heroin, and she's battling that, and she's battling health issues. And so to know that she had that open door to come to me makes me really happy that God placed me in that field.
Yeah, I think there's two things that I think of. So right now, I don't really work with a lot of like coworkers, but at my previous job at Box, there was a time where I think just being in the marketplace, especially in the Bay Area, I feel like we're fighting this kind of like, I don't know, this culture or this atmosphere, this fear almost about living out your faith, maybe just because of what people think about the Christian faith in the Bay Area. And I remember I was kind of just kind of struggling with that. And I remember I was having lunch with a coworker, and she asked me what I'm doing on the weekend. And I was like, I was afraid almost to talk about like my faith. I don't know what happened at that moment, but I was like, should I just say like I just played drums for a band on the weekend and just like leave out church? But you know, I think one thing I just felt like God saying is like live out your reality, because everyone's living out their own reality. And I think a part of just being a light is just you living out your reality and you being yourself. And I remember I said I went to church. And I remember as soon as I said that, she looked at me and just smiled, because she said, hey, I'm a believer too. I'm glad you were able to say that, because I don't know who else I would be able to have this conversation with. And we were able to kind of continue this conversation, and we eventually started kind of this prayer meeting at Box. And a lot of fruit kind of was birthed from that. And so I think, yeah, just living out your reality is the first thing. And second, I think something that I've been learning about work is just understanding kind of the language of the workplace. I think every sphere of influence has a specific language. And I think for the workplace, it's excellence. And I think when you live out your excellence, as you live out the excellence in your work, people will see that, and people will catch on to that, and people will see, like, who are you? What do you do? Like, where did you get this from? Where did you get this value from? And I think your life is a testimony in itself. And I think, I mean, more than just doing it for the sake of excellence, just doing it in faithfulness to God, because I think work is a gift that was given to us, and we need to steward it like any other gift that God has given us. And I think many times faithfulness and stewardness to God may look like excellence to people. And I think that's something that I've learned over the course of my time in the workplace.
Woo, can we amen that? Yo, come on. Come on, how many of you have seen Christian things that are less than excellent, horrible in quality, and actually speak something to the world about who we are? And so I just want to amen that, Justin. That was so good.
Since I'm the last speaker, I think, I mean, what they've said has been amazing, and I'll kind of piggyback on all of those, you know, living out your reality. You know, the fact that I think ultimately you're going to act and do what you believe in the most, right? And so what I've learned is, if this is really an important part of my life, it's going to bleed out of me no matter how much I try to conceal it or not conceal it. And so seeing it that aspect, it's just walking in and walking in the influence that you do have. And, you know, I'm very intentional about trying to, you know, talk to people, open myself up to people. So, because I think at the end of the day, people will remember how you treat them. Right. And so, you know, if I treat them to a certain level, they'll remember that, irrespective of what you say later on. And like what Justin was saying, being excellent, being good at what you do. And what I realize is, like, you know, in science, there's a lot of status and reputation. It's almost like you have to prove yourself. And a lot of that's correlated with degree. And so to kind of give you an idea, I do have a PhD, and so there's a lot of people that do not have a PhD. And so there's, at times, a separation in that. But irrespective of the degree and all the status as well, that only goes so far. And so on top of that, I still have to be excellent in doing that. And then so in my excellence and in how I treat people, I think those two things together, irrespective if they don't believe or not, they'll remember those two things. Yeah, and then that will at least allow them to see that myself is an open door for them to talk and be themselves as well.
So good. Thank you, Chris. I kind of want to ask you something, Sharon, specifically, because I know this is kind of unique to your story. But how do you mobilize Christians in your work? And like, how do you interact with them? Do you guys like, is it kind of like raising up an army and you're trying to like pray over the land? Or like, what is it like? Is it more like a support system? Like I can't stand my coworkers, my boss, let's just pray together. Like, what's it like interacting with other believers in your space? Because I know that's something that's been kind of recent for you, right?
Yeah. So just to give some context, we have a couple of like employee resource groups, like diversity groups. They're called ERGs at Uber. And we have Uber Shalom and Uber Salam, which are the Jewish and Muslim groups respectively. They're very, very large. We didn't have a Christian group, and I found that very surprising. So I knew there were some believers out there, aside from myself, in this 17,000-person company. And we started really small. So I knew one other Christian person. So we met up. He was an engineer. I've never met an engineer in my life before. We had a conversation. We're like, you know what? There are bound to be people just like us in this company. Like, let's start something. So it started with just two people, and we literally just like met weekly and just did like a prayer meeting. Like no agenda, we just prayed for our company. 2017 was a hard year for us, as you guys all know. So we prayed about that.
Oh Lord,
and
yes.
Yeah, like, and as employees Uber. Of the same company, like we relate, we know what's going on internally, we know what's about to come, we know the skeletons in the closet. So we prayed about all of that stuff. Wow. And a lot of it was like logistical plus heart. So the logistical part was like going out of our way to make sure we are formally recognized so that people can discover us more easily. And the heart part is like making sure that we don't see this as just, you know, a weekly thing because we feel obligated to do so. It's something that we deeply care about and we're able to share with others. And it just sort of started literally like one person at a time. And now we have people literally all over the world. We meet three times a week. We're organizing with Shalom and Salam a panel to have speakers. And I feel like that's like a really powerful forum for all 17,000 people in our company to know like we exist. You can join us. It's for believers, but it's also for non-believers to ask questions, to know what Christianity is about. And also like on a personal level, it gives pressure. Like I'm sure all of you guys know too, and everyone on this panel, like speaking out on your faith, it's scary, and it's scary because we know that A, we'll have to change something about ourselves, or we feel like we have to change something about ourselves, and B, we feel like we're not just representing like ourselves, we're representing like all Christians, because maybe the one coworker you say you're a Christian to, like you're the only Christian that he or she knows. So you feel like there's this like added pressure, but like that pressure is sometimes good and it's really productive. It can make you a better leader, more empathetic, and maybe you don't partake in like office gossip. You know, maybe you don't put others down to make yourself ahead. Like you don't focus on short-term profits. You focus on long-term relationships, like long-term success, not only for yourself but for your relationships as well.
That's so good. Wow, man, God's doing something in Uber, huh? Lunch at Uber on Wednesday. We're all going to go there and pray. Just kidding, Sharon. I'm sorry. Actually, that's really good, though. You know, someone asked on Instagram, like, they're kind of coming back to, like, world values and work values versus Christian values. I think someone was citing a specific example to, like, all my coworkers go out to get drink, and they get trashed after work sometimes. And how do I maintain my godly values, my standards, without feeling like, you know what I mean? Like feeling like I'm better than you or I'm holier thou. Like how do you guys wrestle with that and how do you approach that in a practical sense, interacting with some of your coworkers and your work culture?
I think in regards to that question, if there's something that if you're not comfortable drinking and doing all that, I think you should stand firm in that aspect. And so understanding that. But I think there's other ways to attempt to relate. I think the biggest thing is trying. If you start with effort, I think a lot of things can start to be initiated in terms of change. You know, potentially they're like, oh, let's not necessarily go out to drinks. Let's go do some other things as well. But I think if people see that initial effort, I think that's at least a massive start.
That's really good. So you're kind of saying like a lot of times we kind of stop ourselves for looking for common ground. We just feel like we're so other and so different that we don't look for the common denominator. But you're saying effort is the first step. That's so good.
And I think openness as well, because naturally if you go out to a happy hour and everybody's drinking and you're not, the question's going to come in, why aren't you drinking? And again, that's a door open to say, this is not something that I choose to do in my life, but this has nothing to do with what you guys are doing from that standpoint. So an action to say that, yes, I'm fine to be a part of you, but I don't necessarily mean I'm judging you or saying what you're doing is bad.
In that vein, bosses, huh? Authority figures, higher ups. Someone was asking, How do you honor and submit to a boss that is just the worst? Paraphrase, the worst. And so how do you as a Christian, how do you approach that, like, when all your other coworkers are trashing your boss and it's hard to submit to that person? They might not be a good leader, not have good people skills, or just have things about them that are hard to work with. How do you approach higher-ups and submit to authority in your workplace? Do you submit to authority, or do you rise up as a rebel with the cause? What's that look like?
Well, as a boss, I'd like to think people don't don't look at me like that. But I'm sure they have. I'm sure people have a pull at their heart sometimes where they haven't agreed with me completely. And I think as a boss, I've always kept an open door policy and been very conscious of my communication and how I word things. So I definitely went through some seasons, especially in my last career. I was with them for 5 years and grew through a company that was growing very fast from 13 stores to like 70. And just the numbers were racking up. And at one point, I actually lost both of my bosses that promoted me and got me where I was at that time and believed in me. And it was, even prior to that, it was a state of panic. You know, when a company's going through changes, they're making changes for the business, and sometimes you do have to take a bit of emotion out of that. And people were panicking, and they'd come to me and they'd be like, oh, you're like a unicorn, talk me off the ledge. And so being there was the first thing. And I think being open that people could come to me and say, this is what's hard for me right now. How do I approach this situation? And just, I think, being me in my spirituality and with that background, I was able to kind of guide them and encourage that conversation, you know, encouraging people to fight their own battles instead of trying to fix it for them. And so getting them to talk. And I mean, I've had situations where I had bosses that I didn't necessarily agree with, but I always came back to the point of, like, I have to communicate. I can't just assume they know that I don't agree with this. And approaching them and just being honest and asking questions, because there may be a lot of factors that I don't understand or that I don't see, because a boss usually is only showing you a certain part of them, maybe 50%, you know, where my boss is getting maybe yelled at or pressure from her boss, and that's coming down. So figuring out and kind of detective-wise what's going on.
That's really good. Sharon, yes.
I think there's a difference between, like, submitting to your boss and not, and, like, sticking up for yourself if you know you're in the right. Yeah. So I'll give you a very quick example. I have a boss, he's no longer my boss now, but in the beginning, it was really tough working with this person. To give you a sense of an idea, I would, like, look at him and just feel annoyed. Like, oh my God, he's here today. And, like, the best time at work was when he was, like, away internationally for, like, 3 weeks, and it was, like, the happiest period of my life. But it was just really tough because I would see him all the time, we were working really closely together, and it was just really tough, like, emotionally, like, mentally, everything. And I felt like in the beginning, I was doing everything wrong. Like, I was, like, telling all my other coworkers and complaining about him behind his back. And then I would just kind of, like, do what he told me to do, but with, like, a really grudging attitude and, like, a really heavy heart. And I feel like that reflected in my, like, attitude and in my performance. It was just, like, a negative spiral. And I think it's because I thought I was, like, backing down without a good reason, and I was, like, not standing up for myself. I think what really helped was having that open communication that she mentioned. So I had a one-on-one conversation with him, and I was like, hey, let's call him Bob. I was like, hey, Bob, like, I feel like these are the reasons that I feel like are problems in our working relationship. Boom, boom, boom. I just took feelings out of it. I was very, try to stay as objective as possible without, you know, trying to criticize him or trying to put him in the wrong. I just said, here's what I feel, and this is how I reacted, and I realized these are the mistakes I have made. That being said, I feel like these things are things I've done that, you know, may not have been in my wrong. And I feel like these are some potential solutions. So it was like so, I thought it was going to be really awkward. I was so scared. I like prayed about it for days. But I felt like that was kind of like a pivotal moment in our working relationship. And after that, it became like a 180 to the point where like, he just left our team last Friday, and I was actually really sad. Like, we worked really well on all of our projects afterwards, and we had a great working relationship. And I think just to answer that question, it's like, we have really hard people we work with, but they don't have to be our bosses. They could be people under us. They could be people who are peers. But honestly, like, I feel like a lot of it just comes with having the right heart and not being letting anger dictate your actions, and rather if you start with a heart of like, things can improve, like this person is not out to get me, he just is either misunderstanding or maybe has other like good intentions but showing it wrong, and then that's a really good place to have something that's productive, like a productive conversation that can really change things around in a really surprising way.
Wow, that's so good. You know, I think I could contribute a little bit here because I do have a boss, and he's here in this room. And he's actually one of the best bosses I've ever had, you know. But you know what? I noticed something. You know, sometimes as we pray for our higher-ups and our bosses or even our coworkers, I think sometimes our prayer becomes, God, can you change them in this way so that they're less of a burden in my life? But I realized God kind of started changing my prayers as I started praying for the people above me. Instead of saying, God, could you change them to be like this for me? God, can you just bless them? God, can you prosper them? God, can you strengthen them? God, can you pour out your resources? And I started praying not so much to change their heart, but that God would just bless them. And I think that completely changed everything. All of a sudden, you stop judging the person in your heart and stop pinpointing the areas that they need to grow up and change. And you let God do the work instead. And so I think that's one thing that God kind of stirred my heart to do for my most amazing boss, Pastor Benjamin. And it really changed the way that I looked at him and even the way that I interacted with him in prayer. And so that's really great. We're kind of going to wrap it up. And there's so many good questions that I wanted to get to, but why don't we just end with this? Do you have any testimonies of how God is moving in your workplace? Any stories that could inspire us, things that we can try, things that we can perspectives that we can start taking that God has done in your workplaces?
For me, I think this was the most exciting thing to answer because I feel like I brought it up earlier on the touch of obedience within the workplace, and I can't share that enough. So God definitely moved in my career the past few years, especially the past two. And trying to give you guys spark notes so I don't go over. If anyone wants to hear the whole testimony, meet me in the coffee bar. But God, I was in a tough time. My job, hard time with management. There was no stability. It felt very dark. And people were coming to me for positivity. And it got to a point where I'm like, I have no more to give. Like, I'm just saying the same thing over and over again. And I was actually looking to leave my job, and that day we had a conference call, and they had told us that both of my bosses were let go. And in that moment, I'll never forget, God told me, you have to stay, and you have to stay for them. So I held on to that, I mean, geez, for maybe months into the next year. And there was times of darkness. I didn't even have a boss for maybe 4 months, so I had to be very independent. And it brought someone into my experience that she was tough. I didn't agree with everything she was doing, but I've never learned more from a boss. So God really stretched my faith in that time. And he brought me to another year where I was actually flying out to a meeting, and I was about to fall asleep on an airplane, and he said to me, if I were to ask you to quit your job, would you listen? And I kind of was like, what? Yeah? And that was a moment where he just kind of tested my faith if I would let him lead me through this. And it was a preparation because within a week, they actually let go of some of my colleagues and half of my team was gone, but I was still standing. So I knew that God still had purpose for me where I was. And he just continued to ask me to be faithful, to not make my own moves, which led to a promotion. Led to the most stress I've ever had in my life. And eventually, he actually led me out of that business when the time was right, when I had gotten all my ducks in a row. I touched everyone I needed to, and it was time for me to leave. I had nothing else to really take away from that. And actually, it was our first Lent season that I really fasted for breakthrough in my career. I was just kind of asking, like, God, why am I still waiting here? Like, what do you have in store? And I kid you not, within a week of fasting, he started to stir things up. They started talking about asking me to move, and he kind of presented this opportunity for me to gracefully bow out and leave. Literally, it was a gift. He gave me the best, most graceful exit that anyone could ask for. In a job, I had the support of my VP, I had the support of HR, severance, the knowledge of that I needed for unemployment, all these things to set me up for the first season of rest I've had since like high school summer vacation. And then that led to a job that he had in store for me. For 4 months I didn't work, and he told me not to seek. I'm gonna bring this job to you, so can you trust me? Don't apply for a single job. And I had 10 interviews during that time. I didn't apply for a single thing. And the last thing I interviewed for was on a Thursday, and Friday morning I had a job offer. And it's been, and so I hold on to that point. I guess that's my testimony. Like, I know, even when times get stressful right now, I know that God placed me in this role. Like, he handed it to me. It's a gift. So it's what's best for me in this season.
Anyone? Sorry. Sure. I think for me, the story that I think about is my first job out of college, or my first role. It was at Box, and it was actually a role that I didn't feel proud of. I think I just felt like, oh, I could do better. I should be a better role. I should be getting a higher pay. And I think something that I began to struggle with at that moment is just kind of like just this cultural understanding of, oh, there's one work is more valuable than the other, or one industry is more valuable, or having this position is more valuable, or having certain conversations is more valuable. And I felt like something that the Lord was really working in my heart is exactly what Chris shared, where it says, whatever you do, do it heartily for the Lord, not for man. Yeah. And I think in that moment, I began to realize, I don't think God really cares about what we do, at least in the way that we care in this culture. If you look at Jesus, I think he could have come into this world as a king, as a ruler, whatever, but he came in as a carpenter. And I think, and I believe that he was a really great carpenter. I think he understood the value of work. I think of the life of Joseph. He was a slave, and he could have just been like, oh, I'm a slave. This is the worst thing to do in my life. But he was excellent, and he rose to a place of influence. And I think that really gave me a lot of strength as I was working this job, that I didn't feel like I'm more qualified to do better work or whatever. And I just kept that in my mind. Just be excellent. This is what the Lord has given me. Be excellent. And I think about a year and a half later, there was a role that came up, a job opening that came up at Box. And it's something that I didn't actually really qualify for. But I went up to my manager and I said, hey, there's this role. I know it's like 2-3 levels above me, but I want to know that I want to one day be able to get this role. And she said, oh, okay. And it was just kind of, she just kind of brushed it off. And I was like, okay, whatever. But then 3 weeks later, she wanted to meet up with me. And she had a job offer for that role. I didn't even have to interview. And one thing she said is like, we've seen your excellence. We know that you can put in work. And the way that you've lived and done this job, I know that you didn't want to do it, and you felt like it wasn't your fit, but you did it to the best of your abilities, and in that we have confidence. And she gave me that role, and that role, I jumped 2-3 levels above my compensation rose. I think it was like 50% above what I was getting paid. And I think that was just I think God just really just solidified that truth in me, just to be excellent wherever you are, that no work is more valuable than another. I think again, like I said, work is a gift that God has given us to steward. I think once we understand that, especially in this culture, a lot of the stress and anxiety and the drudgery of work fades, and you begin to really partner up with what God is doing. God, like I said, God is working today. I think John 5:17 says, Jesus is talking about his Father, and he says, like, the Father is working even today, and I'm working as well. And I think just knowing that that's God's value for work has given me a lot of my kind of success and favor in the marketplace.
I think being Christian in the workplace has taught me that, you know, God sees our work differently from how we see work oftentimes. So, like, also in my first job, I was in finance, and I went into finance thinking, oh, I'm going to learn a lot about finance. And I thought that was the biggest skill set, like, you would assume so if you're going into finance. But I think what God told me there was, like, yeah, of course, you'll learn some finance, but what I'm going to teach you is more about hard work, about grit, about humility, and a lot of these interpersonal skills. And I think that came, you know, over time, but it's a quick story. I remember there was one day I had, like, not slept the night before. I had a gym membership in the lobby, so I, like, slept on my chair and then went to the gym in the morning to take a shower and then came back up, and I just remembered, like, I don't want to be alive anymore. Like, I just hated my job, and I just, like, didn't want to be there anymore. And I think, you know, despite, like, the physical aspect of the job, all of that stuff, it was, a lot of it came from, like, the interpersonal stuff. Like, if you're working that hard, you at least want to be appreciated, or you want to have, like, close relationships with the people you're working for and with. And I felt like that was what was lacking. And I had a lot of, like, anger and a lot of bitterness, and I think my attitude towards work was just so unhealthy, and it was really, really toxic. And I think in that moment, what God told me through people that he kind of, like, serendipitously placed around me, that, you know, yes, like, this is a really hard time in your life, but you're learning so much about what hard work even feels like. Like, if you didn't go through this experience, maybe you would never know, and maybe you would take your job for granted. Maybe you would take the skills and your opportunities also for granted. I felt like that gave me a lot more purpose in my work. We talked a lot about pursuing excellence. Even if there are really little administrative things that you think are really dumb or not worth your time or worth your efforts, those efforts that you put in, it still should pursue excellence. Even if you're sending an email, it should be the best email you've ever sent in your life. Like, if you send one thing, it should be perfect, and you should strive for that. You know, even if it's not perfect, your attitude should be like, this is going to be really, really good work, because it's not for myself, it's for God. And I felt like that not only made me think about work and it changed my attitude, it also showed me, you know, when it was time to leave. Like, it showed me, you know what, like, if my time at this job is to learn about hard work, to learn a certain skill set, then once I feel like I've exhausted that and have reached, like, that diminishing curve, then maybe it's time for me to leave so I could learn and unlock a whole new skill set, unlock a lot of skills that maybe I haven't learned yet. So I felt like it was kind of a double whammy in that it was helping me be good at my current job by involving God in every moment of it and being very mindful of what he wants of me. And also when he told me, you know what, timing-wise, like, this is time to leave.
So for my testimony, I think just my transition into Genentech has been a testimony, but so to kind of give you the abridged version, about 3.5 years ago at Living Hope, we do 40 nights of prayer, and Pastor Mickey asked me to kind of give my testimony. And then that was the point where I was set on transitioning out of, I was at Berkeley, I was a researcher at Berkeley, and transitioning out of there. And I remember I would basically work throughout the day and then come home, job search, sleep, and then come back at night. I'd go back to lab at like 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, because I didn't want to have anybody know that I was actually job searching, just to not rattle the ship, in a sense. Because if, you know, sometimes if your boss knows that you're leaving, things can change. So I did this for probably about 2 months. And I remember after I gave my testimony, a lot of jobs just started coming through and people. And so that's when I got an interview with Genentech my first phone screen. And I remember talking to my manager, and the best question that he asked me, he was like, what wakes you up in the morning? Like, what are you excited about science? And for me, like, I mean, you guys who know me, I always smile, but I was like doing backflips. Because I was like, this is the opportunity for me to share who I am, you know? Yeah, yeah. And we were initially supposed to go through these steps of informal interviews, but the next day he calls me, he's like, we're going straight to the full interview. And so to skip forward, in the morning, my initial meeting with him, he was kind of giving me a brief of the day. And then he asked me if I had any questions. So I was like, if things go well, what happens? And he started to say, and I think he started to say, like, basically, you'll be hired. But he stopped. And so then I was okay. By the end of the day, he offered me the job. He's like, I want you. Let's get things going forward. So before I even left campus, he offered me the job. And then the amazing part about that is just the amount of influence in 3 years. I was able to accept an award on behalf of Genentech with our senior vice president at a conference down in San Diego. I had tea with her in her office in December. I walk into her office, and she's like, look, Chris, I have a picture of us. Wow. And she has a picture of us behind her, like, behind her desk. And so I'm walking in, and it's like, which is a little bit, anyways. It's like, hey, we're receiving this together. But and one of the amazing things, too, is one of the projects and technology I developed, I'm one step away from getting into clinical trials. And so I think just my job in itself, and I have an amazing opportunity to be in the pharmaceutical industry to change lives. And I think from a perspective-wise, as irrespective of what you believe from the outside of the industry, I think my job is a testimony. From a standpoint, we get to hear people who come in that say, like I remember our, just recently we had a town hall, and there was a guy, he said he was on his deathbed, you know, to the point where it's like, I've given up, you know, I've gone through all these trials, nothing's worked. He went through one more trial, and it was our drug, and it changed his life. Wow. So he's been 18 years clear of having blood cancer. And so literally being in that room to be able to stand and just to hear this guy, like, you know, especially when he was like, I was on my deathbed, you know, you can just hear his voice quiver, and it's like, you feel that. But then on the other aspect, you know, where there's sorrow, there's celebration and joy in the end. And so, you know, after he was saying, he was like, 18 years. Cancer-free, you know, we all stood up, and you're just like, this is why I come to work.
That's so good. I love in Chris's story that it wasn't a prayer or like a Shambhala, you know, it was the drug that he worked on for his company that healed that person. And I think a lot of times we separate the sacred from the secular, but I think there's sacredness in the work that you guys do. And so thank you guys so much for sharing your experience. Let's give it up for our panelists. Thank you guys so much.